Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
For more now on what lies ahead for Martha Coakley and Scott Brown, we turn to WBUR's political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne and Republican Todd Dombke, and asked why it was such a runaway for both candidates. Dan starts.
Because Martha Coakley had an experience factor that worked very well for her. People liked her. They understood her position. She was allowed by her opponents, her Democratic opponents, to run essentially as an incumbent attorney general. She had money. She had a field organization. She had everything that you could want. We were looking real hard to try to find the flaws in her campaign, and there weren't any. And so a number of polls that showed she was ahead by 20% were borne out by what happened last night.
And why did Scott Brown run away with it on the GOP side?
Largely because he was running against a frivolous candidate named Jack E. Robinson, who had run previously, had disgraced himself in those runs. He simply is not a credible alternative to Scott Brown.
Todd Dombke, the Republican race, why did Scott Brown take it going away?
Well, Scott Brown was taken seriously because he earned credibility. As a state senator in the National Guard, he was telegenic, articulate. Jackie Robinson was a perennial loser, and his whole campaign was a joke.
And on the Democratic side, why was it such a cakewalk for Martha Coakley?
Well, Martha Coakley had the right strategy. She started out as the front runner, she played it safe, and she allowed the other candidates to squabble among themselves instead of going after her. It was interesting. When she first started out, she was criticized by the other candidates for being too cautious, too timid. And yet the three male candidates were the timid ones in their unwillingness to go after her. So she profited from their doing very little. And basically the race wasn't very exciting on the Democratic side. But the contrast of her standing out as a statewide official, as the only woman, she had a lot going for her, and she made the most of it.
Well, we know by looking at voter registration numbers that Democrats far outnumber Republicans in Massachusetts. Is Martha Coakley the prohibitive favorite in the January race with Scott Brown?
No, I wouldn't say so. I'd say she's the clear favorite, the odds-on favorite. I wouldn't say that this is a done deal, mainly because Scott Brown is a formidable candidate. And I think starting out in his victory speech, he made the right pitch in saying that he would be an independent voice for all of Massachusetts. He appealed to the independent spirit of Massachusetts. In other words, he needs the independent, unaligned voters to come in to this general election January 19th.
Dan Payne, what are the pitfalls for Martha Coakley?
Overconfidence, looking like she's smug about what happened. I don't think she's going to do that, but I suppose if you ask me what might be potholes in the road, that's chief among them. Also looking too much like the establishment candidate, too many endorsements from Democrats in the state and from outside the state. There was a little bit of a maverick quality to her candidacy in the primary. She's got to hold on to that in the general election.
What Scott Brown have to do?
Scott Brown has to try to force Martha Coakley to debate him in prime time more than once. She's going to try to minimize debates, I think, try to perhaps agree to some in off times when there'd be a negligible audience. He needs to really force the contrast and have people say, wait a minute, let's give a second thought to this race. This guy is not only telegenic and bright and capable, but he has some new ideas, and he would be independent.
Dan Payne, what's the possibility that this very short race is going to draw any more voter attention, any more voter interest than the election that we just went through, for which the turnout was incredibly low?
Well, Coakley and Brown actually have significant differences on important issues. They disagree on guns. He's got 100% NRA rating, and she's for controlling guns in the streets. She's for Cape Wind, the wind farm in Nantucket Sound. He's against it. He's for the troop surge in Afghanistan. She's against it. She's for allowing gay marriage and adoption. He's against it. They disagree on the death penalty. He's for it. She's against it. She's for the public option in the health reform plan. He's against it. His position on abortion is mixed, even by people who are pro-life. She's for the cap and trade to limit greenhouse gases. He's against it. There are a lot of interesting differences between these two candidates, and I hope the general election brings those to light.
I agree. Unfortunately, a lot of voters are more interested in personal scandal like Tiger Woods or White House party crashers or something than they are in some of these policy differences. That's why it's very important for people to actually realize that this is an important choice and that it's good to have a choice in this one-party state.
But this very short campaign comes in the middle of the holiday season, and the likelihood that it's going to get a lot of attention doesn't seem very high, Dan.
No. If what we had was the sprint to the Senate in the primary, we're now going to have the 50-yard dash. This is going to be over in the blink of an eye.
Todd Dumpke.
That's basically true. A lot of times what triggers a lot of interest and news coverage would be a gaffe, a scandal. I don't think we're going to see that in either case. They're going to have to find some ways, though, to engage the public. Martha Coakley can't afford to have Democrats just assume that she's going to win and not to turn out. And Scott Brown also needs to turn on independents. So they both have reason to try to get voters engaged and motivated.
Todd Dumpke, thanks a lot.
Good to be with you.
Dan Payne, thank you.
Always glad to help.
Dan Payne is our Democratic political analyst. Todd Dumpke, our Republican analyst. They both write occasionally for the Boston Globe.